There are now more than 71,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. More than 1,700 people have died. The vast majority of those cases and deaths are in China, where authorities have adopted emergency measures to control the spread of the virus. Millions of people are being required to stay home, inside of their houses, and in many places, they can't leave without permission. That has left thousands of business owners trying to figure out how to stay open as more of their employees work from home. For more, let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. And Robin, this work from home proposition is an attempt, as I said, to slow the spread of the virus and to try to keep the economy moving. Can you give us a scope of how big of an impact all of this has been on industries and businesses?
Oh, that's right. China, which is ground zero for this virus, it has upward of 60 million people on some sort of lockdown. And we've seen air traffic grind to a halt. Factories are running at reduced capacity, if they're running at all. And all this in the most powerful planned economy, I think, in the history of the planet.
Right.
And so when you step back from it internationally, the research firm Dun & Bradstreet found that at least 51,000 companies worldwide, and there are 163 of them in the Fortune 1000, have one or more direct main supplier in this impact region.
You know, I guess it really depends on the type of work, but how effective is this idea of working from home, this experiment? How is it working out?
So far, it's working for digital and professional services employees, especially in the financial capitals of Shanghai and Hong Kong. Even as the cabin fever takes its toll, the internet has stayed on. The intrepid delivery men, they've been pouncing on the opportunity to moped over food, groceries, toiletries. The teleconferencing technology, it's helping. But that's only so relevant to employees who can do this remotely for so long. At some point, you draw down on inventories and you have to be there. You can only automate and telecommute so much.
Yeah. You mentioned this flourishing delivery, grocery and restaurant delivery industry. Could this perhaps be a sea change where maybe after the virus runs its course, online ordering and delivery will be bigger?
I mean, it is striking. It says 83% of all stores on one of China's largest delivery platforms was closed. So the ones who have managed to stay open, they have pricing power. At the same time, customers are making unusual requests. You know, use hand sanitizer before you walk into the building. You have to get your temperature taken by the doorman. Leave it at the elevator, push the button and walk away. And this has all caused quite a bit of food and services inflation. We saw a stat, China's overall consumer price index, which was up between 2 and 3% during most of 2019. It jumped 5.5% last month.
With the little time I have with you, I want to ask you about something else. The schools in China, they're still closed during this outbreak. What happens to students who are shut out of school or unable to attend? Is there a plan for continuing their education?
Yes, there's online learning. There's lectures on TV and on demand. You have about 180 million students potentially studying from home. So the Ministry of Industry and Information, it's coordinating with the top tech and telco players in the country on an e-learning platform. 7,000 servers, 90 terabytes of bandwidth, up to 50 million students could thus use it at the same time. I mean, these are the pluses of living in such a centrally planned economy.
Yeah, I'm actually reading that 180 million students are now staying home because of this virus. Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. As always, thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Good to talk to you.